This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our first story of the 6 o'clock hour. So it turns out that Malaysians have been cheated of almost 300 million ringgit this year alone due to the ever-increasing threat of cybercrimes. Communications and Multimedia Minister Gobind Singh Dio said that 8,313 cybercrime cases were reported to the police's Commercial Crime Investigation Department from January to October 3rd. The year isn't even done.
No. So the most common scams are telecommunication fraud, e-financial fraud, 419 scams, and e-commerce scams, right? So telecommunication fraud cases apparently resulted in 162.6 million ringgit being lost, whereas e-financial fraud resulted in 37.2 million in losses, right? Now, we are all, I think, not victims, we've all experienced this, because I think if you have a cell phone in this country at some point, you would have gotten a call from someone either pretending to be a bank, saying that your credit card has been used to buy slang or pewter in KLIA, right, for 3,000 ringgit.
That's a very specific scam you're naming there,
I'm just saying a lot of people have had that scam happen to them. The other one that's quite popular is that someone will call pretending to be from customs and say that you have an outstanding tax bill of, say, so much that you haven't paid in months, and that the police are going to be in touch. And then what they do is they go, we will transfer you to the police. Now, it's a very advanced system. And then there's this music playing, and then they pretend to transfer you to the police, who will then start talking to you. And it's easy to fall prey to these sorts of things.
So I know someone that just within the last week lost more than 10,000 ringgit to this,
wow,
which is a lot.
And
I wonder also about the recourse, right? Like, if, because these crimes take place in such a nebulous space, I don't know how many people actually get their money back. I don't think it happens all that much.
I don't think it does. You know, these scams have kept Michael Chong, MCA's Michael Chong, in work for a very, very long time. I mean, he's the go-to guy that's always in the Star talking about people who get scammed by mediums and prank phone calls and all of that stuff, right? But I don't know if any of these people see that money.
Exactly. For what it's worth, Minister Gobind said that based on the number of cases reported, although they mostly involve foreigners, most e-commerce scams are perpetrated by Malaysians, possibly due to the increased popularity of e-commerce. So not something to be proud of there.
I don't know what you can do to kind of protect yourself. I'm going to be speaking to a lawyer in a little bit. But for the most part, I think it's just about taking those very same steps that you would in real life. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes when we go and buy something on the internet, even if it's through one of those aggregated online resellers, we should do the same kind of due diligence that we would do in real life. So if you went to buy a cell phone and you go, say, into a mall, into a proper licensed shop, as opposed to some dude standing outside the mall going, hey, you want this Samsung? I mean, you know what I mean? So that kind of due diligence is important.
We spoke about this a little earlier during the market wrap with Sean Tanis. I think there's always that, it's very hard because people prey on your fear that you've done something wrong, and people prey on your greed that you can get a good deal. And so
it's fear or FOMO, right?
Exactly. So between those two impulses, it's very hard to kind of, you know, find your head, I suppose, in the midst of all of that. Let us know if you've been a victim of cybercrime. You know, we would love to hear from you, especially if you reported it and how far that went along. Also, if you've just heard of these scams or if you've got a good way to deal with those calls, that number 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp us your thoughts, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Yvonne says, my number used to belong to a guy who owed money. I get calls once a week. If I block that number, they just use another one.
Yeah, that's another problem that a lot of people have, because obviously after a certain amount of time, telcos recycle prepaid numbers and postpaid numbers. And if you happen to have a number that someone has ditched because loan sharks are after them, you're the one that's going to end up getting harassed.
I wonder whether MCMC, whether that's something that they could deal with.
I think there is recourse through MCMC and CMCF, which is the Consumer Complaints Division. But a lot of people don't utilize it. And actually, to be fair, they're quite efficient. If you file a report, they actually do investigate. So it's worth doing that if you're ever in that situation.
Yvonne, for what it's worth, there is that. Anwar says, 5 years ago, I lost 1.8K ringgit due to the scam. I even made a police report, mentioned that I knew where the scammer lived. The police only said, don't attack the house, let them do the work. At the end of the day, nothing happened. So, yeah. Sorry about that, Anwar. That is rough. In the meantime, let's cross over now to Swaran Singh, a lawyer specializing in cybersecurity from KDJ Law. Swaran, thanks for joining us on the program. There's been quite a bit of publicity surrounding cybercrimes and how they're happening. Given this increasing awareness, there is the perception that attempts of online fraud are easy to detect and therefore easy to avoid. Is that a misconception?
Yeah, that is clearly a misconception. In my experience, many people may know that they shouldn't be looking at something that could be suspicious and whatnot, but people still end up instinctively opening something. They still fall for that good old trick in the book where someone were to just use the basic traits of scaring someone or causing some kind of a panic or some kind of a fear, and that then becomes a very useful tool to trick the end user to give in to a cybercrime. That's one element of it. The other element of it is the cost aspect. To keep up with the amount of cybercrimes that are going on, any establishment need to be up to date with what is available in their office, in their home, in their laptops, in their device. Many people are not, you know, keen to do that, or they feel it's a hassle, or they don't think it's necessary, or they just not find it to be something that needs to be done today. It's something that's postponed. And all of this put together, you know, creates a perfect storm for the perpetrators to then try to, you know, try their luck and see, look, if they can beat the system and try to hack into a system or create some kind of other attack. Time and again, people are told to have very strong passwords. Do not share that with people. Be very careful what kind of emails you get and that not. But I find that it's, you know, majority of the cases, people are still using passwords that are so common, like 12345, or their phone number is a Wi-Fi password. It's so prevalent that it becomes a heaven sent for cyber criminals out there to keep trying, and they beat the system and they get into your services and whatever else that you have put in place.
And how about once the crimes are committed, particularly in Malaysia, what's the likelihood of tracking down the perpetrators who are responsible?
The effectiveness of catching these guys is very poor. One would be the jurisdictional issues. These attacks could be coming from abroad. You know, they could be using different servers and trying to reach you. And therefore, if they're abroad, what do you do? Our agencies, are they equipped with working with the agencies in other parts of the world or in the neighboring country where you could have come from, and then effectively putting an end to it? That's one. Two, in a situation of cybercrime, because, you know, it could appear in so many ways and in manner in which it happens, you do require cross-agency interdependence and cooperation before anything happens. And in that regard, our agencies are still not, in many ways, I don't think that they're not doing it, but there is no sort of push to making them work together, have a standard protocol, be ready for something like that, have a fire drill sort of thing to ensure that if something like that were to happen, they're able to immediately put a stop to it and do what needs to be done. So the effectiveness of the enforcement, unfortunately, is not there.
So do you foresee enforcement improving once a cybercrime task force is formed, as was pushed forth by Communications Minister Gobind Singh Deo? Like you mentioned, there's some talk about more cooperation and information sharing happening across all the relevant agencies.
Yeah, so that, to my mind, is a step in the right direction. The political will and the move is there, which is a good start. And to answer your question, whether something like that will prevent or, you know, bring the cyber criminal activities under control, it may not eliminate it completely, but at least something is being done to attack the situation. The agencies that need to work together obviously will have to be, for example, the Bank Negara, the Multimedia Commission, the police unit, especially the one that deals with computer crimes, the digital forensics. These are some of the bodies that need to sort of come together and have a protocol in place to see what happens when a complaint is made about cyber criminal activity. In terms of information sharing, there could be various types of attacks that could happen. There could be an attack happening at Bursa Malaysia where stock markets are under threat. There could be attacks happening with somebody's personal bank accounts. There could be attacks happening on someone's Facebook accounts or the entire exposure of, say, even the database of medical patients at government hospitals. When it happens, the Ministry of, you know, the Health becomes involved because they are the ones that take care of the hospitals. But they'll be clueless as to what needs to be done when this hack happens. So which is why when something like that were to happen, the various agencies, for example, the one that is in charge of controlling the data in and out of the country, with the Multimedia Commission, for example, which telco is involved, through which channel did this happen? Was it an email? Was it a virus? The detection that needs to happen is the police and the digital forensics department working together, the Multimedia Commission, that needs to quickly step in and figure out where was the source of that breach and try to immediately put a stop to it or identify the IP address where it came from. So that's how they can work together, because individually they'll have only a fragment of information which may prove meaningless, but together they could piece it together and get some kind of a digital trail that will take them to the perpetrator or at least the location of where this could have occurred.
So, Aaron, what skills would the task force need? Is there enough expertise in our agencies to combat cybercrime?
There are lots of good experts in Malaysia, but are they enough to combat something like this? Certainly not. Do we need more training? Do we need more experts coming in? Some kind of information or technology transfer occurring from those abroad who have far more exposure in something like that and passing that information over to us and so that we are ready? That needs to be done. Because if you think about it, when these kind of attacks happen or the viruses are unleashed in any part of the world, clearly it is the same virus or the same kind of attack that could be happening in different parts of the world. Some are able to stop it quicker, some are not able to. The only difference is that the ones who are able to are more ready, they are clearly more prepared, and they're able to then, you know, attack the problem from the beginning, but they have to work together, right? So I will not say we don't have no expertise or it's lacking. I would just say we don't have enough to spread the expertise to, say, around the country, because the expertise cannot just be in KL or in, you know, the urban areas. It has to go all around the country. Do we have enough experts in all the states? How many do we have? If you get an attack in the hospital in Malaysia, or the general hospital and what other places, do we have enough people that we can just roll out and tell them to look into it? So the cooperation that you were talking about that I mentioned earlier, it's not just between agencies in our country alone. You need to reach out in an ASEAN context and say, can all the digital forensics representatives of the various ASEAN countries, can they all work together? Do they have an SOP to work together? Do all the equivalent of the Multimedia Commission or the communication ministries of these various ASEAN countries able to come together and come up with a practice or, you know, a fire drill and roll it out when something like that were to happen? That's my view.
And Swaran, how equipped is the legal and judicial system for dealing with cybercrimes? Is there such a thing or a need for a cybercrimes court in Malaysia?
Yeah, so having a court, we can call it cybercrimes court, we can call it cybersecurity court, we can call it, you know, national interest of digital protection court. And this is my observation. What I find is that we are very good in setting up the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure, and naming it and making it sound as if we are all set and the problem is solved. But that is not the solution. Providing a court, providing a system where, since this kind of criminal activities or perpetrators are brought for the wrong that they have done, is just one small step in how something like that is carried out. But do we have judges who are sufficiently trained, who are aware of what a cybercrime even means, the different kinds of methods in which the criminals these days are carrying this out? I mean, cybercrime is just so fast-moving and evolves at a rapid pace that whoever is put to judge the matter and the DPPs who are brought in to prosecute, they need to be people already with some kind of a background in IT, whether it's a degree or training, and it is an ongoing thing. The commitment has to be, for example, the first judge may be very IT-savvy and tech-ready, but do we then have the commitment to ensure that the next judge who comes in place will be as equally capable and competent? Therein lies a big problem. This need to deal with cybercrimes is not just a one-off solution. There has to be an ongoing dialogue with the various stakeholders, not just the lawyers who are involved, but the various ministries, agencies, and even maybe the victims, so we could understand how it happened and what are the vulnerabilities in the system. And to me, having a cybercrimes court would definitely be a good idea. I think we do have a cyber court right now, but how prepared are we? Holistically, I would say we're not.
Swaran, thank you so much for those insights. That was lawyer Swaran Singh from KDJ Law speaking to us about the Communications Minister proposal to form a special task force to combat cybercrime.
Yeah, so here's the thing about cybercrimes, right? There are some cybercrimes that are beyond your control. So if someone's hacked your credit card, if they've hacked your bank account, that information is often, it may not be your fault. It's not because you've got a simple password. They may have gleaned that information from other data dumps, for example. You know, we had that big issue with MCMC and a leak earlier this year. And so that kind of stuff you have no control over. But I think what Swaran failed to mention as well is there are things that you do have control over. And he talked about passwords being one of them. But also, in general, if something sounds too good to be true, maybe don't get caught up in the hype and the FOMO, right?
See, there is that. But I think for me, I'm more concerned with people who feel fear. You know, it's one thing to feel like, oh, I just want to get that deal. And it's quite another to be told that, hey, we're going
to
arrest you.
The police are coming to get you, right?
Yeah. And I think that kind of mindset, it's hard to get in the right headspace for. It's hard to say, hey, you should know better. You know, that's a bit tricky.
And for me, I guess the safest thing in those situations is to put down the phone and just be like, you know what? I will call the police back.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Or I will call my bank back. No, I don't want your number. I will call them back. And if there is something, they will put me in touch with the right people.
Yeah, I do think just kind of always double checking strangers. That's yes. Crucial. Theo says the SKMM and police should work together or set up a scam division. When I get a scam call, report to SKMM. They say report to police. When you report to police, the police say it's not cheated, so there's no case yet. I think that's very relevant, and that's where that interagency push is coming from. MZ says some call I received about supposedly, you know, having outstanding summons. I'll get a court notice soon. I just hung up. That's right. My full name on Twitter says not sure if this falls under cybercrime. Can we talk about the pay function on our cards? I want the bank to disable it. Can for debit and ATM card, but not for credit cards, because this means that anyone with my card can go shopping, no PIN required.
You can actually disable it yourself. I think if you go into your bank's account page, I think you can turn PayWave off and on, or you can at least set like a limit of 10 ringgit.
Ibrahim says, I would usually get WhatsApps from unknown overseas numbers claiming to be buyers for Duit Lama. I reply by saying, I indulge in human flesh. I would love to meet up with them to add them to the menu. They end up blocking me. So
fantastic. Yeah. If you have time, have some fun with the scammers. That's what I do on WhatsApp as well.
Human flesh is a good one. Keep those thoughts coming. If you've been a victim of cybercrime, or if you've got a human flesh style solution for how to deal with that number to call, 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have got the news coming your way. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.